Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:03 on Wednesday, December 18th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any opening comments, but I do want, well, I do have a few, I guess. They are going to be to preview what is coming up. We're coming up on an important kind of deadline, kind of milestone on in terms of the requirements for wind farms to have the light mitigation technology implemented. The original deadline set was the end of December of this year for those that were constructed after June 6th of 2016, I believe it was. And so we will be reporting on that here. We're gathering that information update from the various companies on what their status is, which ones will be. Some are still under construction, so they'll be functional when they are operating, and some are still in communication with the FAA, and some are still waiting for tech for the product, but we're working on that, and we'll be getting you an update by the end of the year. So you can look for that, Dave. Okay, that's it for me.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Christman?
I was actually going to mention that, too, but so that being said, but I think there are two of them that...
I think there are two of those wind farms, probably, that it appears are going to have everything in place and be operational, so we'll at least probably get a test. So really looking forward to that and seeing one actually working and demonstrating that it can be. And once again, I think on a positive change, North Dakota is out in the lead. So probably not surprising. Mm. That's it.
The ones that it looks like will be the Brady 1 and 2, but there's some missing from this list that I'm wondering about. The ones in Tioga, we cited those after this. What's the status of those? So we have a little bit of work to do yet with staff to figure out which ones are all included in this list and their status. So we'll get that out, though, as soon as we can.
All right. Thank you. We have a total of 14 items on consent and the previous minutes. I'm going to break this into two parts. So I'm going to recuse myself from one item on consent, which is RC9, AU-19-379. So I move approval on 13 consent items, the other 13, and the previous minutes.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I have one question. I didn't count them up. So when you say 13, is RC1 excluded? Because I had asked that be withdrawn. And so I just wanted to make sure that it's clear in this motion that RC1 is not among them. That's a rugby wind issue.
Yes, it's listed as withdrawn.
Okay. Then we will move. I move approval on 12, excluding the one previously mentioned. And again, the previous minutes.
Okay, we have a. You did not second the previous motion, correct?
I did not, no.
Oh, you did.
And I seconded the second.
Okay, we need to deal with the first one. So by unanimous consent, can we withdraw that motion?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would move then the passage of RC9.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, moving into the regular agenda items. My first, I move the commission adopt the order issuing Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5935 in Otter Tail Power Company, 69 KV transmission segment and three substations, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-19-298.
Second.
On August 20th, 2019, Otter Tail Power filed an application for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity authorizing the acquisition of certain equipment owned by Central Power Electric Cooperative at Otter Tail's Botno, Wahpeton, and Rugby substations and a four-mile segment of Otter Tail's 69 KV Rowlett transmission line now owned by Central Power Electric Cooperative. We did issue a notice of opportunity for hearing on September 19th, 2019. No response for hearing was received. And the projects that Otter Tail is requesting approval include the acquisition and ownership of equipment within the Otter Tail Botno 115-43.8 KV substation, equipment within Otter Tail's Wahpeton 230-115-43.8 KV substation, and then equipment within Otter Tail's Rugby substation as well, and the Rowlett line segment, which is a 4 mile long 69 KV line. Otter Tail indicates the primary benefits of the acquisition are the efficiencies and benefits gained by a more seamless ownership, and that this would support the retail distribution of electric power to customers in the areas of Botno, Wahpeton, Rugby, and Rowlett. Otter Tail will realize financial benefits that will result as well in a financial benefit to Otter Tail customers. All assets are in good working order. And we had an informal on this. I don't have the date, but we did visit with the company on this. They presented their case, and I support this motion. I think it's a good move.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'd say this is, I am pleased to see this because it really is a step towards cleaning up some of the joint ownership that had occurred with some of the different lines that is really quite complicated when you get into the use of those assets through the regional transmission organizations, especially in light of the fact that Basin is in SPP and Otter Tail is in MISO. And so on some of their systems that they've shared, it's been complicated, and ratepayers have had to pay twice to use some of those segments of the system. So this is a good step, and I'm hoping that they can take additional steps like this to completely separate some of their joint ownerships down the road.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my second item, I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Transmission Facility. Cost Recovery 2020 Rates, case number PU-19-311.
Second.
Okay, this would be effective January 1st of 2020. It's an annual rate update under the Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rider Tariff. We did issue a notice of opportunity for hearing on September 19th, 2019. No response was received on that notice of opportunity for hearing. And what this will essentially do, it includes the cost for seven new transmission projects, updated electric transmission expenses with offsetting revenues, and also a true-up amount of approximately $200,000 from the current rate. The increase for a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month would be 73 cents per month. And just to provide a little more breakdown on this, the old rate currently is at $3.52 per month, and the new rate would change to $4.25 per month. Total revenue requirement is just over $5.7 million. Of that, $1.5 million is for company-owned transmission assets, and $4.4 million is RTO-related, with approximately $3.4 million coming from MISO. Just shy of $1 million would come from SPP. I mentioned the $200,000 credit to true up the numbers, or in this case, true them down, for a total of $5.7 million in terms of the overall revenue requirement. The company-owned assets, what would happen with those, they'll be in the rider at this point in time. The next general rate case that Otter Tail would have, those numbers, figures would fold into the base rate. The RTO portion of it would not. That would stay on the rider side of the equation in terms of how it appears on a customer's bill.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my third item, I move the commission adopt the order and MDU, excuse me, I'll try this again. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Electric Service Agreement with the North Dakota OMB, approval case number PU-19-332.
Second.
And I take it that phone call wasn't for me because he left the building. So, on October 1st, 2019, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed an interruptible electric service agreement between the State of North Dakota, the Office of Management and Budget, North Dakota OMB, and MDU. We issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on October 22nd, and no response was received as a result of that issuance. And we did discuss the matter with MDU during an informal hearing. And then on November 21st, 2019, MDU filed a letter requesting a January 1st, 2020 effective date for the agreement. And the agreement provides that the state capital would continue to take electric service from MDU under its interruptible large power demand response rate 38 at the tariffed rate with a basic service charge of $100 per month. MDU would continue to purchase the installed generating capacity of the state capital's generator for a monthly billing credit of $3 per kilowatt of accredited capacity. And that would occur during service interruptions, which doesn't, be perfectly honest, occur very often, but it can. It can at times. So MDU will charge the electric rates in the agreement until MDU's next general rate case, when a cost new study of cost to serve the state capital will be completed. And this was initiated by staff at the commission. And really, in a nutshell, this was done to ensure several things. One, transparency in the process, and also to make sure that the state's agreement with MDU is not being subsidized by other rate classes. So from a standpoint of fairness, we wanted to ensure that was occurring and that we are being treated the same as the constituents that we serve. The capital does have generating capacity, as mentioned. Diesel generators, approximately 5.6 megawatts of capacity, which exceeds the typical load at the capital, which would be right around 2.25 megawatts. So when called upon, there would be excess power that could be supplied to the grid from the generating capacity that the capital has on site. This results in virtually no change in rate. So the rate is continues to be on par with what it was before. The important part is that the rate is comparable to what other large interruptible service agreements would be for entities beyond the state capital. So it was a good exercise. It's something that advocacy staff and internal staff at the capital are at the commission look at on a regular basis. And I was happy to see that this exercise occurred, and it's always good to start with yourself in terms of how rates are being applied and making sure they're fair, and in this case, they are.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, And my final item, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Renewable Resource Cost Recovery, Rates, case number PU-19-355.
Second.
On November 1st, 2019, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed a change to its renewable resource cost adjustment rates. The new rates reflect projected costs through December 31st, 2020, related to investment in the Thunder Spirit Wind Project, the Cedar Hills Wind Project, and Diamond Willow Wind Project, and also reflect a projected undercollected balance of the current renewable resource cost adjustment rate as of December 31st, 2019. This would result in a rate change on the bill for a residential customer. The average residential customer using 894 kilowatt hours per month would result in an increase of 75 cents per month. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 30th, 2020. And for more information, you can contact the Public Service Commission at 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that completes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities, Otter Tail Power Company, 345 KV Transmission Line, Dickey County, citing application, case number PU-13-840.
Second.
So in July of 2014, the commission issued a certificate and route permit to MDU and Otter Tail for the location and for the construction operation of 11 miles of 345 KV electric transmission line and associated facilities from a new Ellendale 345 KV substation to the South Dakota border in Dickey County. On August 5th of this year, the applicants filed with the commission for a modified certificate of corridor compatibility and language to clarify shifts and a request to use new tree and shrub mitigation specifications. On September 19th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for a hearing on this matter that provided until November 12th for written comments and hearing requests. No responses were received. On November 21st, we had a discussion with companies on these matters in an informal hearing. The modifications seek to shift the designated corridor at the new Ellendale 345 KV substation approximately 50 feet south to include the southern perimeter of the new substation within the designated corridor. They have filed that there is no exclusion areas or avoidance areas present within the corridor or the route modification. They also requested an amendment to remove language from paragraph 31 of the original order that appears to require notice and opportunity for hearing prior to approving project modifications. And they also request an amendment to replace the tree and shrub mitigation specifications with updated specifications that have recently been adopted by the commission. We talked through all these matters in the informal. We talked through all the amendments, and all of these requests are reasonable and appropriate, and I think we're clear to approve this order today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just one little typo in here. I'm fine with the order and everything, but you mentioned that correction to the language in paragraph 31 of the certificate, which is on the third page in paragraph 3 of this order. On the second line, it mentions any plan to modify the site plan, but it says any plant to modify the site plan. So if we can just administratively correct
page
that.
Three, can you, there's two, several, third paragraph or the number three down below on the order?
Our page three of this order, number three of the order.
Okay.
And it has to do with paragraph 31 of the certificate.
Second line. Yeah. Okay, got it. So we'll fix that typo. Thanks, Randy.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
The second motion is an interesting project. I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Denbury Green Pipeline, North Dakota, LLC, 12-inch Cedar Hills Pipeline Project Slope and Bowman Siting Application, case number PU-19-294.
Second.
So with this motion, we're setting a hearing date, a public hearing on the application. This case is scheduled for February 6, 2020 at 10 a.m. at Bowman Lodge and Convention Center in Bowman, North Dakota. This is relating to an application that we received on August 8th from Denbury Green Pipeline Montana, LLC, for a corridor certificate and route permit for the location of a carbon dioxide pipeline approximately 9.23 miles long, with approximately 2.29 miles located in Slope County, North Dakota, south. It would be the very southwest corner of Slope County, and 6.94 miles located in the northwest corner of Bowman County. Let's see here. It's a little bit more about this project. So the project... will transport carbon dioxide from a pipeline source in Fallon County, Montana, to Denbury's CHSU, Cedar Hills South Unit, oil production facilities in Bowman County. Approximately 8.5 miles of the pipeline will be located in Montana, and the remaining 9.23 will be in Slope and Bowman counties. The project will provide for tertiary oil recovery from Denbury's production wells through injection of CO2 into the oil reserve, which will result in increased extraction and utilization of crude oil resources in this oil field. So Denbury operates multiple oil and gas production wells in the Cedar Hills oil field in Bowman County. Most are developed in the Red River B and South Red River B pools. Oil production has been active in these areas since the 1990s, and the production from individual wells has declined. As this production has declined, Denbury has increasingly used water injection as a secondary recovery method to increase extraction of the resources from those formations. And now, with construction of this project, if approved, Denbury will have readily available CO2 for use in enhanced oil recovery via these existing wells in the Cedar Hills area. The tertiary or EOR techniques may ultimately result in total recovery of 30% to 60% or more of the original oil in place in the reservoir. So this has some promising potential for increasing production from those traditional oil wells. The CO2 is actually, the source of the CO2 is a gas plant in Wyoming, and two gas plants in Wyoming, the ExxonMobil Chute Creek gas plant in LaBarge, Wyoming, and the ConocoPhillips Lost Cabin gas plant in Lysite, Wyoming, and it'll be transported through Montana through a couple of different pipelines owned by Denbury, ultimately this new pipeline, if approved and constructed. The project is $9.2 million, and they hope to begin construction in June and complete construction in December of 2020.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
What a perfect way to celebrate President Reagan's birthday by going out and having a field hearing.
Is that the date of his birthday? Very yep. Good.
I did not know that. This is a very promising proposition. It has to move through the approval process, of course, but carbon dioxide is a commodity, just like many others. And while this, the source is in Montana, it not only enhances oil recovery through the secondary recovery process, it helps to repressurize the reservoir and breathes new life into wells that have been depleted or are certainly on the way down. And it also helps reduce emissions at the same time. So you get two very positive benefits when CO2 is injected into oil wells that, frankly, aren't nearly as productive as they once were, and that's because of the pressure drop. So this is a way to not only do that, but to lock a high percentage of the carbon in the ground after that process is completed as well.
Yeah, it seems like we're going to be seeing a lot more of this type of technology used in North Dakota as we go into different phases of oil production in our state, with a secondary and tertiary methods being used to capture more of the oil from the reserve. The original can only capture a small percentage, and each new effort seems to capture more and more, with this one proposing to capture as much as 60% of the original oil in the field. So that's pretty promising. And as we've seen already, as technologies are used and used more and tested, they improve significantly in short order. So I think this all bodes very well for the Bakken and North Dakota's other oil reserves.
The next leg in this process is to apply this technology and to develop technology that's actually effective in shale plays like the Bakken as well. In the southwestern part of the state, in Bowman, you're talking the conventional vertical wells.
Mm-hmm.
And the EERC in Grand Forks is doing some really good work on the research side to try and figure out exactly how to apply technology with an available resource, which is carbon dioxide. And then that second leg, if you will, applying this practice to shale plays in the United States and here at home in the Bakken, that to me is the most exciting proposition of all, because of the number of wells. The vast majority of our wells in North Dakota are horizontally drilled wells now. So we'll see what the future holds.
And it's really a win-win too for North Dakota, because we have a lot of potential CO2 available at our coal-fired electric facilities. So that's really where it gets exciting, when you think of how it can benefit our coal industry and our oil and gas industry, and really create a couple of wins.
But of course, from a siting perspective, we're going into this with a neutral attitude.
Absolutely,
always.
Of course. We're just talking about technology and its potential.
Okay.
As it relates to one pipeline proposal.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and my final motion, I move the Commission adopt the order issuing first reissued third amended Certificate of Site Compatibility number 30 to Glen Ullin Energy Center LLC and Elite Clean Energy Glen Ullin Energy Center Transfer Site Certificate Siting Application Case number PU-19-343.
Second.
It's another site transfer certificate. We've had a number of these this fall. So this in particular is an application for expedited transfer of third amended certificate number 30 from Elite Clean Energy to Glen Ullin Energy Center. The issues to be considered are whether Glen Ullin Energy Center agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of this certificate, and whether the requested transfer is compatible with public interest. We received an affidavit from the General Counsel and Corporate Secretary and Director of Compliance from Elite Clean Energy and Secretary of Glen Ullin Energy Center, stating that the Glen Ullin Energy Center has the financial and technical qualifications to own the project and agrees to assume the rights and obligations of the certificate and agrees to comply with the terms and conditions set forth in the certificate and our orders. So with that in order, the transfer of this certificate is requested because Elite Clean Energy has transferred all the project assets to Glen Ullin Energy Center. And they have met the required standards for this, and it appears to be compatible with public interest.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's it for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Chairman, things would flow more smoothly if I could take RC2 first.
Absolutely.
Okay. I move the commission approve the updated decommissioning plan and cost estimate filed on December 5, 2019 in Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Minot Wind, and Prairie Winds ND1 decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-078.
Second.
On June 29th of 2018, Basin Electric filed a revised decommissioning plan and cost estimates for its Minot Wind and Prairie Winds ND1 facilities. Minot Wind consists of five turbines. There's the two old blue ones that were initially put up, and then they added three more in 2009. Then Prairie Winds consists of 77 1.5 megawatt turbines. And there was a time when we started this decommissioning schedule where the requirement on existing facilities would be that they do these things after 10 years of operation. And this commission, in response to a request from Basin Electric, allowed those two earlier turbines to be kind of rolled into the later ones so they didn't have to have separate filings and estimate costs of bringing cranes out to deal with one or two turbines. So they're bundled up as if they were all built in 2009. In the filing in 2018, the total cost to decommission both facilities was approximately $6.9 million. Through subsequent discussions with our staff, Basin decided to increase the decommissioning plan's contingency estimate from 10% to 20% and update the tipping fees to reflect current pricing. So on December 5th of this year, Basin filed an updated decommissioning plan and cost estimate for both facilities. The net effect was that the total decommissioning cost increased to approximately $13.3 million. If you average that by the number of turbines, it would come out to $163,000 per turbine. Our staff has reviewed Minot Wind and Prairie Wind's decommissioning plan and cost estimate and finds them to be reasonable and consistent with our rules. So staff recommends that the commission approve.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Now to RC1, I move the commission approve the self-guarantee filed on December 5th, 2019 in Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Minot Wind and Prairie Winds ND1 decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-078.
Second.
So again, this is the same case. This is the financial assurances portion of it. As previously mentioned, Minot Wind consists of five turbines. Prairie Wind consists of 77 1.5 megawatt turbines. We just approved the updated decommissioning plan and cost estimate of $13.3 million. Each facility went operational in December of 2009, except those original two or three turbines up there. Therefore, Basin is required to file financial assurance necessary to ensure decommissioning with the commission by the end of this month. On December 5th, they filed financial assurance in the form of a self-guarantee to ensure decommissioning. S&P Global Ratings assigned Basin an A issuer credit rating, and Basin meets the commission's other requirements for a self-guarantee. Staff has reviewed this self-guarantee and finds it to be reasonable and consistent with our rules. Therefore, staff recommends that the commission approve.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
In RC3, I move the commission approve the parent guarantee filed on August 29th of 2019 in Langdon Renewables, LLC, 159 megawatt wind energy center, Langdon, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-105.
Second.
On June 27th of 2018. We approved the revised decommissioning plan and cost estimate for the Langdon Wind facility. Langdon Wind has a nameplate capacity of 159 megawatts and consists of 106 1.5 megawatt turbines. The total amount approved for decommissioning the facility was $13.25 million. On August 29th of this year, NextEra Incorporated filed a decommissioning financial assurance in the form of a parent guarantee in the amount of $13.25 million. The guarantor for the decommissioning of the facility is NextEra Energy Capital Holdings Incorporated. They have an A-minus credit rating from Fitch Ratings, and they meet all the other requirements for a parent guarantee, so staff recommends that the commission approve. This has also been vetted by legal, I should add.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. In terms of announcements, we do have a periodic information exchange meeting with NSP at 1:30 today here at the Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the Capitol. And we also tomorrow have a special commission meeting for Ashley Beulah Wind, case number PU-10-103, PU-19-336, and PU-19-345. And again, that is 5:05 p.m. And our next regular commission meeting will be after the holidays on Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. So if anyone is like me, don't forget to put 2020 on your checks. We will not, right, not quite yet. Not yet. Enjoy the last of 2019. And fortunately, we have some decent weather ahead, it looks like. We'll now take a brief recess, followed by questions from the press, and then we'll go to the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.
Hi there. I just have one question for you guys. For whoever knows this, is the only other carbon dioxide